بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على نبينا محمد المصطفى وعلى آله وأصحابه نجوم الهدى قال الذي تقى ما بعد قال الله عز وجل في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Brother with the Nissan Sentra BANX162 Brothers please go 250 please go remove your car You are blocking some cars Brothers please remove your car immediately Today in the Taraweeh prayer We completed Surah Al-Furqan and in Surah Al-Furqan Allah Azza wa Jal He mentions 13 qualities of a mu'min of a true believer and the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Inshallah we'll get to the zakat later but we'll just go through this ruku quickly inshallah Allah Azza wa Jal says وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا That the true servants of Allah are those who walk upon the earth with humbleness and humility. What does that mean? That they don't march on the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with pride. They do not walk like kings and queens. They do not walk with their chests out. They do not walk in such a manner with arrogance and pride where they think they are better than others. They walk with humbleness and humility. Tawadhu. The place of tawadhu is the heart. Humility, humbleness means that a person, he lowers himself and he considers himself to be lower than his fellow Muslim brother. To the extent that many Sahaba and many of our pious predecessors, they would say that they are better than the kafirs and the non-Muslims right now, but there is a possibility that that kafir can be better than them. What does that mean? That right now I have iman, so because of my iman, I am better than a non-Muslim. But it could so happen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala snatches away iman from me, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that non-Muslim iman. And he dies in the state of iman and I die in the state of kufr. Na'udhu billahi min dalik. So every Muslim should be humble. He should not think of himself to be better than anybody. He should think that everyone is higher than me. Everyone is better than me. And when he has that feeling inside his heart, then that feeling will manifest in his actions. It will manifest in the way he walks. Now that does not mean that we walk with our head down, And we walk slowly, 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 no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you read his lifestyle, his shama'il, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to walk very fast, very swiftly. The Sahaba ridwanullahi al-majma'in, they comment and they say, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to walk swiftly as if he was walking downhill. When a person walks downhill, of course, because he's walking downhill, he's going to walk faster than normal. So that is how Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to walk. It's not a person who walks very slowly, slowly, slowly like a king or a queen. You know how they slowly, slowly march without necessity? Then that is looked down upon. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he's seen a very young person, a young healthy youth. And he's walking very, very slowly. You know how the king and the queen march. He said, hey, come here. He said, are you sick? Are you old man? He said, no, I'm perfectly healthy. So he smacked him one on the back. He goes, walk like a healthy, normal person then. Right? So, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا They walk upon the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humbleness and humility. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا And when the ignorant people talk to them out of ignorance, futile arguments, what do they say? قَالُوا سَلَامًا They say, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ Peace be upon you. They say words of peace. Today we look around the non-Muslims and many people, even hypocrites amongst the Muslims, they get into futile arguments with us for no reason. They pick up one issue and they make that issue so big and all they want to do is they want that Muslim to say one wrong thing from his mouth and when he says that one wrong thing inside his mouth, they want him to say something out of passion, something out of excitement and as soon as he says that word, then they pick him up and they throw up. So, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا And you can tell who these people are. They don't want they don't want to take any faida and benefit from that argument. They don't want to have a normal conversation. All they want is to have an argument. So a true believer, a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he understands that, he recognizes that, and when he is approached by such a person, he says words of peace. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Second quality. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا. The servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who spend the night in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by standing and in prostration. They spend the night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They stand up for the tahajjud prayer, the night prayer. My respected brothers and brothers, this month of Ramadan is a very, very great opportunity for us. Outside the other 11 months, it's very hard for us to perform tahajjud because of our work, because of this, because of that. But the month of Ramadan, especially in the summer months, is a very short night. Right now you go home at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock is suhoor. A 3-hour night, a person can easily spend a lot of time. He can take a big chunk of their time and spend that in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why is tahajjud salah most important? Why is tahajjud salah given preference over all the other salat throughout the day? Whether it's ishraq, whether it's awabin, whether it's salatul duha. Because that is the true test, that a person, out of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to increase his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person, he leaves that sweet sleep, he leaves that good sleep he has, he gets out from his bed. And that is a very great sacrifice. And our pious predecessors, they say that if a person wants to achieve the qurb and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best way to achieve the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is through tahajjud. If a person doesn't pray tahajjud, he can attain the wilaya and he can attain the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it will take him very, very long. He has to go through a long process to get that friendship and that close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the tahajjud salah is a fast pass. You know, when you go Wonderland, if you buy the fast pass, $60 you pay, you can skip the whole line. So if you stand up for tahajjud, you wake up for tahajjud, you'll get that fast pass and you will get the close connection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very quickly. And all the awliya Allah, all the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were all very punctual on tahajjud. It became their system. They would automatically wake up for tahajjud. And I've seen this myself. When I was studying in the Ulum al-Arabiya Islamiyah in Bury, UK, one of, not even my teachers, he was the gardener of our madrasa, Sufi Anwar Sahib. He's a very, very pious person. So him, automatically, when it was tahajjud time, he would know, he never used to have to put an alarm on. We were in i'tikaf with him and he stayed i'tikaf with us. No alarm, as soon as it's tahajjud time, his eyes open, he just gets up. So this is because of the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. Fourth quality, those people, the true servants of Allah, are those who make dua to Allah. And they say, رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ. Oh Allah, turn the punishment of Jahannam away from us. What do you learn from this? That they spent the entire night in tahajjud. They stood up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were making tahajjud, but they didn't have trust in their a'mal. They didn't think that, they didn't believe their a'mal and their good deeds were enough. And they were worried about their a'mal, that is it good enough to be accepted in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, we do so little, we do such a minimum amount. We recite one juz a day, maybe recite two asra nawafil, and we think we become angels. And our pious predecessors, they used to do so much, so much, so much, spend the entire night in worship, their feet used to get swollen. They used to spend their entire wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would still have that fikr, they would still have that worry, that is my worship going to get accepted or not? Is my charity going to be accepted or not? Did I have that ikhlas? Did I have that sincerity? And they would be worried about that. Today we think that, you know, Allah made jannat for us. If we don't go jannat, who's going to go to jannat? No. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiyallahu anhu is the saying of the Sahaba, Al-Imanu bayna al-khawfi wal-raja. That Iman and belief is between fear and hope. We shouldn't become so hopeless from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we think that, oh my God, I done a sin. Is Allah going to forgive me? No, He's never going to forgive me. You know what shall I do? I'm going to burn in Jahannam. No. And bayna al-khawfi wal-raja. So we shouldn't have that much fear and we should not despair of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. But at the same time, we should not have so much hope as well. That don't worry, I'm sinning, I'm disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah is ghafoor rahim, Allah is going to forgive me. We should be balanced between hope and between fear. We should have same time we have hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, same time we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he used to say that if I was told on the day of Qiyamah that every single person from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to go to hellfire and only one person is going to go to Jannah, I have hope that that person will be me. And at the same time, if I was told that every single ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to go to paradise, going to Jannah, and one person is going to go in the fire of Jahannam, I'm going to be scared and I will have that fear that that person is going to me. So al-imanu bayn al-khawfi wal-raja. Belief is between hope and fear. So we should make this dua every day. The last 10 days of Ramadan is for an-najatu min al-nar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give people salvation from the fire of Jahannam. Especially when these last 10 days come, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah save us from the fire of Jahannam. Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. Rabbana sirif anna azaba Jahannam. These duas we should be making constantly after every salah. So وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. Fifth quality, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Those people, when they spend, they are not tight-fisted. لَمْ يُنفِقُوا, they do not hold the money back, they are not stingy. وَلَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا, and they are not so extravagant. They do not spend everything without thinking. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا. They are in between, they are inside the middle. What does tight-fisted mean? لَمْ يَقْتُرْ إِقْتَارِ. It means that the place where a person is supposed to spend, he doesn't even spend over there. What does that mean? We're discussing zakat right now. So a person, he has enough wealth that zakat is fard upon him, but even that 2.5%, he cannot take out from there. It is necessary for a person to spend upon his wife, to spend upon his children, to provide them education, provide them with food, provide them with clothes. But even in there, he's stingy. His children are suffering, he's starving at home. His wife is starving at home. There's not enough food inside the refrigerator to provide for his family. He counts when he spends on his family. My beloved teacher, Maulana Juni Sahib, used to say that, jo aadmi dil khol ke kharch karta hai, Allah bhi uske upar dil khol ke dete hai. Aur jo aadmi hisab karke deta hai, Allah bhi usko hisab karke dete hai. That if we make all calculations that, oh, I should only give this much, I'm only made this much this month, you know, I should only give this much, if I spend this much in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm only going to remain with this much, then this is not how we should do. So, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. They are not so stingy, and they are not so extravagant that they spend beyond necessity, and they spend more than they have. Now, what does extravagance mean? What does it mean that a person, he spends too much? What is too much? Now, too much is different for me, is different for you, is different for you. Too much is different according to everybody. Me, according to my salary, my too much is different. According to the salary you earn, the amount of money you have, your amount is different. So according to the wages I earn, for me, maybe buying a Mercedes is out of my capacity. It's too much. If I was to buy a brand new Mercedes, I would have to borrow money from here, I would have to borrow money from there. I would have to maybe spend all my wealth behind that Mercedes. I would have to overexhaust myself. I would have to do 2-3 jobs just to afford that Mercedes. So for me, buying that Mercedes is extravagance. On the other hand, someone is a doctor or someone's a lawyer. He's earning good money every year. He has a lot of money and he's giving his zakat as well. He's spending in charity as well. He's spending upon his family as well. And he, mashallah, he has a lot of money left over. May Allah give him more barakat. And he buys a Mercedes. So for that person, that is not extravagance. Same thing, a person, he's a poor person, comes from a poor family. And now it's the time for his daughter's wedding. But because for the muashara, everyone is doing nice fancy weddings and nice halls. So now he feels that he also has to match with society, and he also has to have a wedding in a nice wedding hall. You know, people are inviting 500 people, I have to invite 600 people. He doesn't have that. He only has $1,000 in his bank, and he has $20,000 to do a big walima. So what does he do? He borrows money from here, he borrows money from there. He overexhausts himself just to fulfill that desire of his. For that person, it is extravagance. Another hand, another person is wealthy, he can afford to call that many people. Then for him, that person, that would not be considered extravagance. But even then, even if a person can afford it, it's not good to spend too much money. Okay, so that's one thing that we have to take into consideration. How much you can afford yourself. Don't overexhaust yourself to buy something that you do not need. And number two, intention plays a role in here. Maybe a person, he can afford it, but his intention is to show off to people. His intention is so people can look at his Mercedes. His intention is that person, he called 700 people to his wedding. I'm going to have a wedding, I'm going to call 10,000 people. Right? So his intention is to show the people. So even though that person could afford it, but now when he buys that thing, it will be extravagance because his niyyah was not correct. If he bought it for himself, maybe I want a Mercedes for my own luxury. You know, some people, they have these, they have the shock, and they want stuff like this. Qibaz, it is okay. But as soon as his intention is incorrect, then that will become extravagant for him. So, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. Those people, when they spend, they are not over extravagant, they are not tight-fisted, they are in between. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخر. Those people who do not call upon any God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as you call someone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is shirk, you leave the fold of Islam. Simple. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And they do not kill any innocent soul whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's soul has become sacred. We all know that مِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ, from the biggest of major sins is killing an innocent soul. And unfortunately today we look around the world, especially in the Muslim countries, there is no more value for the blood of the Muslims. Maulana Rashid Sahib, he made dua today for the people of Palestine, for the people of Syria. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to share their pain, share their suffering. And those oppressors who are doing oppression over there, if hidayah and guidance is written in their taqdeer, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them guidance. And if there is not guidance written for them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help our brothers and sisters over them. Young children, young women, innocent children are being slaughtered in front of their families. And there's no one to help them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is their helper, Allah is their helper, Allah is their nasir, Allah is their hami. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them. So, وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And they do not commit zina. They do not commit adultery. They do not commit fornication. And we know that adultery and fornication is not only the act of intercourse, but there is zina of the eyes, there is zina of the hands, there is zina of the ears, there is zina of the nose, there is zina on Facebook, there is zina on the internet, there is zina on WhatsApp, there is zina on Hotmail, there is zina on Gmail, there is zina on Facebook, on Twitter, there is zina on Instagram. All these things, sitting in your home, sitting on your chair, sitting on your phone, you can be committing zina. So, وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. The true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not even go to zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Do not even go close to zina. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. It's a very immodest thing. You do zina, you're not just harming that one innocent person. You're not just fulfilling your own lust, but you are breaking the right of that innocent girl, her father, her mother, her brother, her sister. You are cheating. You are committing treachery with that person, with that girl's entire family. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. And whosoever does that, then he will be getting a grave sin. يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The punishment in the akhirah will be doubled for them. وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا. And he will stay there forever and ever. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. But except for that person who after committing a sin, he repents. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ. That every single son of Adam, he commits mistakes. He is prone to mistake. He is going to slip. He is going to fall. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. But the best of those people who slip, the best of those people who fall, are the people who immediately repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And repent does not just mean saying astaghfirullah from your tongue. Repentance means that you have nadamat inside your heart. You have remorse. You regret what you've done. And you have a firm intention never, ever, ever to commit that sin again. If you meet these two conditions and then we make tawbah, our tawbah will be accepted. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. And after doing tawbah, for all the bad deeds, he starts doing good a'mal. He changes his life. He does good deeds. He pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَئِكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ سَيَأْتِيهِمْ وَمَنْ تَابَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. And those people who do not participate in falsehood. They do not participate in falsehood. They do not take part in gatherings where false things, where immoral things are taking place. This includes so many things. This can include a gathering where people are being backbited. This can include a gathering where lies are being spoken. This can include a gathering where people are swearing. This could include going to a drama. This could include going to a theater. This could include going to a mela. This could include going to a parade. This could include going to a fair. All these things. This could include going to a wedding where there is music and there is singing taking place. This could include going to any majlis where alcohol is being drunk. And all these things. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. A mu'min does not even go near to these places. He does not participate in them. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ. And if by chance he has to pass by one of these places, For chance, he has to pass by. He's walking in downtown, the street of downtown. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ. And he passed by, you know, when you go downtown on the sidewalks, sometimes they have some shows and events going on, someone singing. مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Then he passes by in a very honorable and respectful manner. He doesn't pay attention to whatever is going on over there. And at the same time, he does not think low of those people. Subhanallah. A true believer, even if he sees someone involved in sin, he will never ever think that, oh, look at that person, I'm so much better than him, I'm so much better, look at that simple person, disobeying Allah. No, no. He thinks that that person is bichara, he's making a mistake, he is ghafil, he is negligent from the deen, and from his heart he makes dua for those people, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. And if it is within his capacity, and he can stop those people, then he will do nahi anil munkar over there. He will try and bring that person away from the bad deed they are doing. So إِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. When he passes by a gathering of falsehood, he passes by in a respectful and honorable manner. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورُ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. And those people, when they are given nasiha, when the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited before him, when he is given a lecture, when he is giving advice, he does not fall upon it deaf and blind. Meaning he listens to the words of Allah. And he takes it and he gives it thought. And he tries and changes to his life. And this applies to us when we come and we sit in these gatherings. When we sit in these bayans. If we come and sit in these gatherings and we leave this gathering the same way that we entered, then we will fall under this ayah. We will fall under the warning of this ayah. لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانَا. They do not turn deaf and blind. The nasiha does not come inside this ear and come outside this year. But they at least make a niyyah to change. My beloved teacher, Mufti Ibrahim Sahib, he always used to tell us that if you go to a bayan, if you go to a lecture, and when you come out, you just went for entertainment, it didn't make any change inside your life, you didn't even consider that, you know what, I'm involved in this, I'm going to start changing this, whatever this evil habit I'm involved in, I'm going to stop from today, then that sitting there for half an hour, 45 minutes, that can be used against you on the day of Qiyamah. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And those people who make this dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا. O Allah, grant us from our wives and our children the coolness of our eyes. وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And make us the leaders of the muttaqeen and the pious people. MashaAllah, many of us have children over here, and we are always worried about our children and our children's future. And inshallah, most of us will be doing a good upbringing of our children. We will be keeping them in a nice mahol, a nice environment. The same mahol we want them to be outside, then we have to create that same mahol and that same environment inside our house. Environment of truthfulness, environment of love, environment of care. The same mahol, if we have a nice mahol inside our house, we have a nice environment inside our house, then even if our children will go outside, inshallah, they will uphold to whatever they learned inside the house. And at the same time, they make dua. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا. We should all learn this dua. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنُ. O Allah, grant us from our wives and our children the coolness of our eyes. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And make us the leader of the muttaqeen and the pious people. Now a question arises over here, that in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have been prohibited from asking for position. We have been prohibited from asking for a high position. And over here in this dua, Allah is saying, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us leader of the pious people. So in one place, we are being prohibited from asking for leadership, for asking for high position. And over here, we are being asked to make dua for leadership. So today we know that people, they're always, I want to be the president, I want to be the chairman, I want to be the manager. In Islam, we have been prohibited from asking for high position, because with high position comes high responsibility. Right? The Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ajma'in and our pious predecessors, they used to be very scared from taking a high position. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, many of our pious, our fuqaha, great jurists, they were offered from the kings of the time to become chief justice, from becoming chief of honor. But they always ran away from that position. Why? Because I won't be able to. What if I make a wrong decision? What if someone was on truth, someone was truthful, and I gave a testimony, I gave a judgment against him? Or someone was upon falsehood, and I gave a judgment in his favor. How am I going to answer on the day of Qiyamah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So our mashayikh and our fuqaha, they used to run away from high position. But the only time we can ask for high position or of status is when we know that the person who is in that position right now, he is oppressing the people. He is committing treachery. He is doing zulm on the people. And I know that I can do a better job and I will work with amana. Then a person can ask for position. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, what did he say? قَالَ رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي عَلَىٰ خَزَائِنِ الْأَرْضِ. Oh Allah, he asked the king of that time to make him the finance minister. Why? Because he knew that the finance was not being distributed amongst the people properly. And he knew that if he took that position, he would be able to do it properly. So that's why he asked for that position. So over here Allah Azza wa Jal, he says to make dua, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us the leaders of the muttaqeen. Now what does mean by leaders over here? Every single person, he's the leader of his family. A father, he's the leader of his wife, he's the leader of his children. And if his children become muttaqeen, then he is the leader of the muttaqeen. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. So these are 13 qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned regarding the slaves of Allah. These are, inshallah, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all these qualities. And then if we bring these qualities inside our life, Allah Azza wa Jalla says again, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. That these people, they will be given rooms in paradise. They will be given balconies in paradise for all the patience they done inside this world. وَيُلَقَّوْنَ. And they will be met in Jannah. فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. With glad tidings and with salam and with salutations. The angels will be there welcoming in Jannah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah make us from amongst these people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us one and all the tawfiq. This was one of the rukus that we recited in Taraweeh today. Yesterday we started the masail of zakah. Do you think we should just go over what we discussed yesterday? Quickly going over what we discussed yesterday. Number one, that there is something in zakat called nisab. And nisab is two. There's nisab of gold and there's nisab of silver. Nisab of gold is 87.48 grams of gold. And nisab of silver is 612.34 grams of silver. The nisab of gold today is around $3,500. And the nisab of silver is around $420. This rate goes up and down every day according to the rate of gold and according to the rate of silver. If a person only owns gold, then he will own... If a person only owns gold, then he will only look at the nisab of silver. If a person has gold and silver, then he will look at the lesser of the two, which in our day and age is silver. And if a person owns gold, silver and cash, then again he will look at the lesser of the two, which is silver. So normally today, generally we always look at the nisab of silver, which is $420. If a person, the day he owns $420, he becomes what we call sahibe nisab, the owner of nisab. And the day he becomes owner of nisab, that will be his zakat date. Now that does not have to be in Ramadan. It is not necessarily Ramadan. It could be any time of the year when we first became the owner of that much amount of money. And that will always be our zakat date until we go bankrupt. So until the time comes in our life where we have no money in our bank account, we are completely zero zip nada, then our zakat date will change, and the next time we own the amount of nisab, that will become our new zakat date. When does zakat become necessary upon us? Your zakat date, whatever it is, let's say for example, 1st of Rajab, according to the Islamic calendar, when 1 year passes upon that day, the next year, 1st of Rajab, if you still own more than the amount of nisab, then zakat is wajib upon you. How much zakat is wajib upon you? That 1st of Rajab, your zakat date, however much assets you own on that day, your cash, gold, silver, business, inventory, stocks, etc., etc., which we will discuss right now, 2.5% of that zakat is wajib upon you. That's simply put. Okay? Who can we give zakat to? We can give zakat to any poor and needy person whom, if you were to add up his cash, you were to add up his gold, you were to add up his silver, you were to add up his investments, and you were to add up those things he owns which is beyond his necessity. Those things he owns which is beyond his necessity, for example, extra laptop, extra car, second house, so those things which are beyond his necessity. And if you were to add all that together, it does not equal the amount of nisab. It's still below the nisab threshold, which is today is $420. So that person is eligible to give zakat to. You can give zakat to that person. And the condition is that you make that person owner of that money. That person has to be made the owner of that money. That is why you cannot pay zakat to an institution, you cannot pay your zakat to a hospital, you cannot pay your zakat to an orphanage, unless that you know that that orphanage or that hospital is going to give that money specifically to a poor person who is in need. Also, you cannot pay zakat to your wife, you cannot pay zakat to your ascendants, father, grandfather, great-grandfather, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and your descendants, son, grandson, great-grandson, daughter, granddaughter, great-granddaughter. These are people we cannot pay our zakat to. And at the same time, those who are from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hashmi, Sayyids, you cannot pay zakat to them. Who is zakat wajib upon? Zakat is wajib upon a sane person who is a Muslim, who is mature. And zakat is wajib upon the individual. Husband is not responsible for the wife's zakah. Wife is not responsible for the husband's zakah. And the father is not responsible for the zakah of his son. And similarly for his daughter. So these are this is a very brief khulasa and a summary of what we spoke about yesterday. What do we pay? What are those things which are zakatable? Meaning we count them when we pay our zakah. All the cash money we have, whether we own it in our house, in our banks, okay? Any gold and silver we have, and that gold and silver item is such that 50% or more of it is made from gold. So for example, you have a ring, and it's made 60% gold, 40% other metals, so you will consider that whole, you will pay zakat on the full gold ring. And if you have something which is 40% gold, 60% other metal, then you will not pay zakat on that. Similarly, don't pay zakat on rubies, emeralds, other gems that you have. You don't have to pay zakat on that. Okay? And when we are calculating zakat of our gold, how do we calculate it? So for example, a person, he has gold, he should calculate 12 karat gold separately, 14 karat gold separately, 16 karat gold separately, 18 karat gold separately, because all these golds have different values. So he should put all his 12 karat gold to a side. So now he looks at the 12 karat gold, I have, for example, 10 grams. Okay, so he writes that down. Then he has 16 karat gold, I have 20 grams of 16 karat gold, so he writes that down. Then I have 24 karat gold, I have 20 grams, so he calculates that. And then he should get a value, and he should go to the store, or he should check on the internet, that what is the value of 12 karat gold. And he should write it down, that I have 10 grams of 12 karat gold, this is how much it is worth. 16 karat gold, this is how much I have, this is how much it is worth. 24 karat gold, this is how much I have, this is how much it is worth. And you will add all that at the end, and you will add it with your cash, and you will add it with all the other jewelry you have. We also mentioned stocks, right? However, a person, he buys stocks with either of two intentions. Number one, he buys the stock with the intention of selling it. If he buys it with that intention, then he will pay zakat on the total value of that stock. And number two, he buys the stock with the intention of receiving a dividend at the end of the year. In that situation, what does he do? However much percentage of the company he owns, he will look at that company altogether, how much assets it has, which is zakatable, how much merchandise does that company have, which is going to be sold. So let's say, for example, 100,000, then he will look how much percentage of that do I own, and whatever amount he gets, he will pay 2.5% of that. And also the dividend he receives at the end of the year, if he still has that on his zakat date, then he will also pay zakat on that. If he's invested into a company, so the investment he's made inside that company, if it's readily liquidable, meaning you can take it out anytime, then he also has to pay zakat on that investment. Okay, so these are the things that we have to pay zakat on. Now, yesterday we left out debts. That's a very important topic. Debts that a person owes to somebody else and debts which are owed to a person. So first let's discuss debts which are owed to you. Similarly, you sold something to somebody. So you sold somebody a car. And you sold it for $5,000 and he hasn't paid you back yet. He said, I'll pay you after 1 month. Right? So you know you're going to get that $5,000. So you also have to include that when you are calculating your zakat. Besides that, any other types of debts that people owe you. Now we're talking about the debts that which you owe somebody else. Okay? So let's say you borrow some $5,000 from somebody. So that $5,000, you will minus it from your total assets. So let's say you have altogether $6,000 in the bank. But you borrowed $5,000 from somebody and you have to pay him back. So you will $6,000 minus $5,000, you have $1,000 left. Now you look, is $1,000 more than nisab or is it less than nisab? You know it's more than nisab, so you'll have to pay zakat. Now there's a difference between long-term loan and short-term loan. Long-term debt, short-term debt. Long-term debt, in there we include mortgage that we use to buy a house and students who have to pay OSAP. Long-term debts with regards to mortgage, you can only minus the amount you are going to pay, be paying the following year. So let's say my zakat date is 1st of Rajab. I'm calculating, I added all my money up together. And now I have a mortgage as well. And I know that every single month I pay $1,000 towards the mortgage. So for the next year, how much I'm going to be paying? $12,000. So I can minus $12,000 from my total assets. So let's say I have $10,000 in the bank. But the next year I'm going to be paying $12,000 towards my mortgage. So if I minus $12,000, I'm left with minus $2,000. So now I'm below the nisab, I will not have to pay zakat. But remember, when you minus that 1 year's debt, you only minus that amount which you are paying towards the mortgage, not the interest. So let's say, for example, every month you pay $1,000 towards your mortgage, but from there, 900 is towards the actual loan, but 100 is interest. So you don't minus 1,000, you minus 900. So you do 900 times 12, and whatever amount you get, you will minus that from your assets. Whatever you're paying towards interest, that does not count, because that amount is haram. Similarly, you have to owe mahar to your wife, and you have intention of paying that mahar this year. In our mu'ashara, in our community, since we don't pay mahar after the nikah, we should. The nikah, the mahar is the right of the wife, and that mahar should be given to her right away after the nikah. What we tend to do normally is in the Pakistani Indian community, a lot of times the mahar is given to the wife after the husband dies or after she is given divorce. Okay? So if you have intention of paying your mahar that year, then you can also minus that amount from your total assets. Outstanding basic living expenses. So when you're calculating your zakat on the 1st of Rajab, you know for that month you have to pay the utility bill, your phone bill, your gas bill, whatever is outstanding. So you already got the bill and now you have to pay it. The rent for that month, right? The living expenses, the rent for that month. So when you are calculating your zakat, that month, whatever outstanding expenses you have that you already owe, you have to pay that bill. You can also minus that from your total assets. Okay? And pensions, someone asked the question yesterday, I was supposed to discuss it today, pension schemes, RRSP, RESP. So I mentioned, I explained yesterday, for those who weren't here yesterday, there are two types of pension schemes. One is voluntary and one is involuntary. Voluntary pension scheme is the one where you have authorized the pension scheme, money is going from your salary every month is getting cut. So what is the ruling for that? That every single year when you are calculating your zakat, you will also calculate the amount that is inside your pension fund. And you, zakat will be wajib on it every year, but it will only be necessary to pay it once you get that money back, which is after the age of 65 or the age of 70. But it is better to pay it off every single year, because if you were to add it all up for 60, 65, 7 years, it's going to become too much, and it's hard to pay that much amount at once, so it's better to pay it off every year. And there's involuntary pension fund, which is sometimes a necessity from the workplace, where they forcefully cut an amount from your wage every single month. You have no say in there, you didn't authorize it, but it's cut from your paycheck every month. There's no zakat wajib upon there. When you get that money after 65 years, then you will add that wealth with the rest of your wealth, and when your zakat date comes, you will pay zakat on that for that 1 year. Understand? So that's that's with regards to pensions. Children's fund, if you put some money towards your children's education fund, so the money you've paid towards your children's education fund, that becomes the property of your child now. So you do not have to pay the zakat for that. When your children becomes mature, then zakat will be wajib on there every year after your child becomes mature. And then when he gets that money back, then he will pay zakat for all the previous years. So when he becomes 18, if he takes that money out, and 4 or 5 years it's been sitting inside his account, so he will pay zakat for the past few years. Or if every year the father, he paid on behalf of his child with his permission, then that is also permissible. Okay? So now I'm going to go over a khulasa, a simple how to calculate your zakat. Basically, when 1 year passes from your zakat date, on that day, you will add your gold, you will add your silver, you will add the cash that is inside your bank, you will add the cash that is in your hand, you will add up your bonds, you will add up any of your liquid investments, you will add any of your properties that you have the intention of selling, that you bought with the intention of selling. At the time you purchased it, you made niyyah that I'm going to sell it when the price becomes high. Okay? If you have a business, all the merchandise inside your business at the retail value, the value that you are selling it for. Not the price that you bought it for, the price that you are selling it for. Or if you were to add up all your merchandise together, the retail value of that amount, you will add that to your wealth. Similarly, finished goods. So for example, you own a factory, and there's a lot of material over there that's made, and you're not selling it yet, but it's made, it's put together. You'll also include the value of that. Same way, raw materials. So for example, you're a construction worker, and you have raw wood, you have bricks, right? And you're going to put those bricks together to make houses, and you're going to sell that house. So you also include the value of that brick and those woods and all that raw material. Shares, the value of the shares, if you bought it with the intention of selling it, or your percentage of the company that you own. Okay? And debts which are owed to you. People who owe you money, you add that as well. And the pension, right? If you had a voluntary pension fund, then the amount that is inside your pension, all these things you will add up, and now you have a figure. Let's say that figure is 25,000. Okay? That is your total assets. Now from that, we can subtract some things. What are the things we can subtract? The money, the personal loans that we owe to other people. Outstanding mortgage payments for how many years? 1 year without the interest. Rent, bills, and other utilities which are outstanding for that month. Goods that you purchased on credit. Let's say you bought something from somebody, but you haven't paid him yet. You said, I'll pay him after 6 months. Mine's that as well. Salaries due to be paid to staff. You own a company, you have to pay your workers, you haven't paid them yet, you minus that as well. Dowry to your wife, the meher that you haven't paid and you have the intention of paying it for that year, you can minus that as well. Okay? And outstanding basic living expenses, the rent for your house, like I just mentioned, all these things you will minus. So let's say all these things we added together and it came to $10,000. So 25,000 minus 10,000, we have $15,000, you will take 2.5% of that and you will give it in zakah. On the other hand, if you had $25,000 and your liabilities altogether equals $24,800. Okay? So you do 25,000 minus 24,800. You're left with $200. $200 is below the nisab, then zakat is not wajib upon you. Market buying price, yeah. Market selling price. Like if you were to go buy it, how much would you buy it for? How much would you buy it for? The retail price. Market rate, yes. Yeah, so right now if you're paying zakat, you wouldn't minus anything. When you become liable, then you will start minusing 1 year's payment. Yeah. So now let's say today was my zakat day, and today I calculated my zakat, and I had $1,000 and $1,000, how much zakat becomes wajib? In 1,000? $25. So now that $25, I have to make sure that before my next zakat day comes, that $25 is gone. So I can do monthly, weekly, all at once, it doesn't matter. I can distribute it to more than one person, it doesn't have to be given to one person, I can give it to different people, but before the next year comes, I should make sure it's gone. Yeah. So you'll be sinful, but if you paid afterwards, maybe after 2-3 years, it will be considered done. Yeah, so you will minus that. So let's say for example, zakat became wajib on me today, $25. And the whole year passed and I didn't pay my zakat. And next year comes, right? And now I'm calculating my new zakat for that year. So when I'm calculating my zakat, I will minus $25 because that is now a debt. That $25 is also a debt now. I owe to the poor people. So you can minus that next year. Understand? If someone hasn't paid zakat for past 10 years, what should he do? Then he should estimate. He should figure out, try and estimate what his zakat date was. And every year he should think as hard as he can, look back in his bank accounts, bank statements, and think that every year on that date, how much money did I have? And calculate 2.5% of that and give a bit more, inshallah, just to be on the safe side. A lot of people, they come to me and they ask, I haven't paid zakat for 10, 15 years, what should I do? So the best thing we can do is estimate, inshallah, sincerely, honest. Everyone should be honest to Allah. And inshallah, if they are honest and they paid off, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. So you took it on your wife's name, but you took it with her permission, right?
Yeah.
So you are the person who's going to be paying that back. So that will be your liability. Okay, but what intention do you buy the land with? So zakat wouldn't be wajib on that? Wouldn't. Yeah. Unless you make a clear specific intention that I'm going to buy this property to sell it, zakat will not be wajib.
Definitely.
Yeah. So until you don't sell it, no zakat is wajib on there. So let's say you buy, he's saying that he bought a land, at that time he didn't really have niyat to, intention to sell it. He just bought it for the sake of it. Maybe I'll use it for my own personal use, maybe I'll sell it afterwards. So for that, until you actually don't sell it, nothing becomes wajib on that. Yeah, so the time you make, as soon as you make that intention that now I'm not going to sell it anymore, I'm going to use it for my own purposes, then you don't pay zakat anymore on that. In the second scenario, nothing becomes wajib until you actually don't sell it. When you do sell it, then the profit you get, then you'll include that with the rest of your wealth. Similarly, if you buy a property to put on rent, so you don't pay zakat on the value of the property, you only pay zakat on the rent which you get from there. When you get that money, when you get that profit, now you look, if when your zakat date comes, and you still have that money, then zakat will be wajib on there. If you already spent it before your zakat date came, then there's nothing on there. So like I told you, it all depends on your zakat date. Whatever happens in between the year, you don't look at that. Only the zakat date, whatever money you own on that day, zakat will be wajib on there. Deed. So whatever zakat is wajib on me today, I don't have to give it today. Before the next year, I can slowly, I can pay it off. According to the need. So whatever cash you have inside your bank, you will just include that with the rest of your assets. I don't understand what you mean by limit. If it's more than the nisab, then you will pay zakat on it. Let's check exactly what it is today. If you go to arij.ca, arij, arij.ca, at the bottom of the page over there, they have the nisab every day, the updated. Arij. So today is $452, the nisab of silver. $452, and the nisab of gold is $4,041. No, if you have more than the silver nisab, then you will pay zakat. Whichever is less from the two. But if you only have gold, let's say you have only gold, no silver, no cash, then you will look at the gold nisab. But you don't pay zakat on only for 450, you pay zakat on the full money you have. Nisab is just to determine whether you zakat is wajib on you or not.
Minimum.
It's the minimum. If you have that minimum.
450,
if you have zakat, yeah, because that's obviously valued more. But if you used to value all of it according to 12 karat, that would be wrong then. Yeah, if the wife is not Sayyid, then you can pay the zakat to the wife. So you make the wife the owner, and then she can do whatever she wants with that money. Children say it's fine, but as long as you make the wife the owner, after she becomes the owner and then she wants to spend on her children, she can do that. No. If the husband is Sayyid, you can't pay the zakat to him. Wife has to become owner. That's fine. Because a wife, her property is considered separate from the property of her husband. Right? Husband does not have right over the property and the owner, the money and the assets of her wife, of his wife. Then you give it to his guardian. Yeah. No, you can't pay to the Sayyid. You can give him voluntary sadaqah, but not farz zakah.
If I give zakah to his wife?
Yeah, if his wife's not Sayyid, you can give zakah to his wife.
No, wife not Sayyid.
Okay, yeah.
Sayyid.
Yeah, so you can give...
I know, mm-hmm. His money will go for wife and children.
That's fine. But you have to give it to the wife.
To the wife.
Yeah, she has to become the owner and then she can spend it.
I don't know these things.
Who did you give it to though?
I give it to the...
The husband.
But I know this money will go to the children.
Mm-hmm. But see, the it entered the ownership of the father first.
This money for...
Hey, of course, he's gonna spend on his children. But the ruling is that, no, you cannot give it to that person. You have to give it to the non-Sayyid. Mm-hmm. So of course, it's more preferable to obviously give zakat to the mustahiqeen of your family first. Those who are needy in your own family, your father, not your father, your brother, then your uncle, cousins, after that, then firstly immediate family, then outside family, and that is obviously then people in your locality, your neighborhood. That's what I mentioned yesterday, that it's better to give zakat, if you have found mustahiqeen in our locality, is better than sending our money, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, to people who we don't know over there. Right? At the same time, if there is a need somewhere, let's say for example in Palestine, or in India there was an earthquake somewhere and there's a volcano, so because of that, some people are extra needy compared to people over here, then for a temporary, it will be better to give it to them. preferable to give to them. You're paying zakat to a mentally...
A mentally challenged person mm-hmm. is getting some funds from the government, right?
Okay. So zakat is not wajib on him. The amount he has, there's no zakat wajib on him.
Yeah,
because he's the owner of that money. The guardian is just under his protection. The guardian is not the owner, so the guardian won't even pay zakat from there. He will not pay. Because he's not saying, so zakat is not wajib upon him.
But he does have money.
Even though he has money. As a mustahiq? So, from his apparent situation and from what you know about him, not just assuming, but you've inquired from a few people around him, you feel, strongly feel inside your heart, that this person, all his assets put together, and he doesn't have those things which are beyond his necessity, and if you add all those things together, he does not meet the nisab. Yeah, so if that house, he is using that house, he is living in that house, and that's in his day-to-day use, then you won't consider that house. You only consider those extra things that he doesn't need. For example, he has an extra house lying around, or he has an extra car, right? So then you will take that into consideration. And let's say, for example, you done your best effort to determine whether someone was mustahiq, and then you gave him zakat, and then afterwards you found out that that person was actually rich, so your zakat will be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't be able to give the woman then. You give the husband.
The husband will use this money with the
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. As long as it enters the ownership of someone who is mustahiq. And then he can do whatever he wants with that after. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So even in our houses, these are some things that we should be very clear upon in our houses. That what is my ownership? What is the ownership of my wife? Because then problems happen. When divorce happens, or after someone passes, in the event of someone's death, then a lot of fights can happen amongst the family. So especially things like property, gold, we should be very clear that this belongs to me. Or this house, we both paid towards it. You paid 50%, 50%. So 50% of the house is mine, 50% is yours. This jewelry belongs to the wife, this jewelry belongs to the daughter. We've given it to her, it's hers now. So this makes things easier in the future. You don't have to tell him that it's zakat money. As long as you have intention in your heart that this is zakat, that's enough. You can tell him you're giving him a gift. Yeah, you don't have to tell him. You can tell him you're giving him a gift. Okay. So if you make a business, and you give him the whole business, and you make him owner of that business, that's okay. Let's say you bought, in India, Pakistan, let's say you bought him one of those carts where they sell nothing. So you bought him that cart, and you made him owner of that card. You do whatever you want with this now. That's okay. So zakat doesn't have to be paid in cash or gold or silver. Zakat can be paid even in clothing. Zakat can be paid in even medicine. So you would consider the value of that medicine. So let's say $25 zakat is wajib upon you, and you bought medicine worth $25, and you distribute that amongst needy people. That's okay. No. Your employee. Yeah, but now that employer, he's going to be paying that employee with that zakat. Okay, no, that's not, because you're not making that needy person owner of that money.
Mm-hmm.
So you give someone qarz and you forgive him. I'll get back to you on that one, inshallah. It's not in my head. Okay, ha. Abhi uska qarz ada kar liya. ہاں میرے خیال میں اگر اس کی اجازت لی ہو اس کی اجازت سے آپ نے اس کا قرض ادا کیا ہو کہ میں آپ کا قرض ادا کر رہا ہوں
اس کو تبلیغ کر دیں گے مالک بنا دیں گے اسی کو اپنا قرض ادا کر
ہاں وہ ٹھیک ہے if you give him that money say pay your قرض that's okay there's nothing wrong with that yeah you can pay zakat to that brother after he becomes the owner even if he gives that whole amount to the parents it's okay as long as he becomes owner and then let's say out of his happiness he gives the full amount to the father or the mother that's fine child benefits. Okay, child benefits, who is the owner of the child benefit? The child money that comes, is the child the owner? Is the parents the owner? Is the mother the owner? The father the owner? So, normally that money which is given, the parents are made the owner of that money, the mother is the owner of that money, and the government gives that money to support the mother to support her child. So that money is not the ownership of the children, it's the ownership of the mother. It normally goes to the mother's account. And she is made the owner of that money, so she can spend that money on the children. So the actual owner of the money is the mother, so the mother will pay the zakat on that money. Unless after she gets the money, she gives it to the father and she says, okay, you take care of it. I'll put it in your account, it's your money. Right? So in that case, the father will be paid. But the, initially that mother, that money comes to the mother's account, the mother is the owner, so she will pay the zakat. If she decides to give that money to the father, then the father will pay that. Yeah, so whenever your zakat date is, everyone's zakat date is different. So let's say on the 1st of Muharram, you were calculating all your money. And then you also had that child benefit money as well. Right? And there was $800-$900 left from there. Right? And let's say the father is the owner of that money. So he'll also calculate that with the rest of his money and he'll pay zakat on that. Everything together. Yeah, that's okay. No, as long as she's given permission to the husband that you paid on my behalf. That's fine. A template for a will. I'm not sure, maybe you have to go to a lawyer for that. I'm not sure if you can. Okay, if it's debts, if you're minusing debts, then you have to make sure that the husband minuses his debt separately and the wife minuses her debt separately. That's obviously, that's, you have to take that into consideration, right? Because putting it together is just making things easier. But if there are liabilities, then everyone's liabilities are different. Because at the end of the day, she's a separate owner and he's a separate owner. So the liabilities will be calculated separately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I explained that yesterday. The day before your zakat date, whatever money you got, and you still have it on your zakat date, you'll have to pay zakat. So zakat, people, they get confused. The 1 year is conditioned. 1 year doesn't have to pass on every single penny. 1 year just has to pass on the nisab. 1 year has to pass on nisab. 1 year doesn't have to pass on every single penny that you get. So your zakat is this 1st of Rajab, and just the night before you got your paycheck, or you, someone gave you $1,000, right? So on that $1,000, only one night has passed. But you will still pay zakat on there, on your zakat day. The first day where you became, when you owned more than nisab. So the first time in your life, where you had, you got a lump sum of money, and that equal to more than nisab. If you try your hardest, think back, you know, when did you get your first paycheck? Or maybe when you got married, you got good gifts or something, right? If you can't, then you can fix your own date, 1st of Ramadan or whatever. No, if your naak ke zariye se chala gaya, to chuki water vapor dimag tak pahunchta hai. Aur naak aur dimag ke darmiyan ek manfaz hai, ek rasta hai, aar-paar rasta. To usse roza toot jayega. Thoda sa bhi ho. Ji. Agar koi itna bimar ho ki uske bagair wo so hi nahi sakta, the other perfumes are fine. As long as you don't inhale this, like when you spray it, you don't inhale that. At the time when you're spraying, you don't take that vapor inside. That's okay. If you apply something wrong with that. There's no certain criteria that you have to update every now and then, but it's just for your own safety and to avoid. Yeah, if your situation changes.
So you have to update that.
Yeah. You don't have to, but it's something good. It's something very recommended to avoid problems in the future. Right? Every year, something just good, update it, whatever. Yeah, so when the year passes, when the year passes and you still haven't paid him and you plan on paying him, then you will minus that. Yeah, you will minus it. Because you haven't paid him yet, right? On 20,000. 20,000. Whatever amount you have on the zakat date. Right? I told you, in the middle of the year, whatever... You got money. That's what I told you. In between the year, it doesn't matter. Even if it came one night before. On the zakat date, whatever you have, you'll pay zakat on that. Yeah. Minus debts or liabilities.